Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We begin with the sound of an airstrike. Washington, last hours. The Pentagon on Monday released footage of retaliatory U.S. airstrikes in Iraq and Syria against facilities used by Iran-backed militia groups, a move expected to rattle the fragile diplomatic overtures surrounding the revival of the Iran deal of 2015. Malcolm, a very good evening to you. The airstrikes. We did not discuss the possibility last week. What is the driver to your understanding of these airstrikes? Because Iran has long bad behaved in Iraq and Syria. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. This is the second strike that President Biden has ordered in the region. The United States, you remember, carried out airstrikes in eastern Syria in late February against buildings belonging to what were Iran-backed militias, supposedly responsible for attacks against Americans and allied personnel in Iraq. Now, we've had a series of incidents where there were attacks, particularly by drones. I think there were four, where they come at night and then they strike and they hit at air bases where American troops are stationed. So today we targeted operational and weapons storage facilities at two locations in Syria and one in Iraq. It wasn't disclosed about what the casualties were. Some have said that there were four people killed that came from an Iranian-backed group. But these groups are all really manipulated by Iran, which called on the U.S. to stop creating crisis in the region. I mean, you think of all the parties who would ask for calm and to stop creating crises. And they said that one of the victims would be the United States, which is an interesting threat that comes from them at a time when all these negotiations are going on. And this is a strong statement by the administration. It was backed by the Department of Defense. It's a limited strike. It's a message. It's not an all-out attack. But the fact that these drone attacks have become more and more sophisticated, and Israel and the United States have set up a joint effort to address these drone attacks together with some of the Arab countries. Supposedly, multiple bombs of the 500-pound and 2,000-pound satellite-guided munitions were dropped on these three structures, mainly the ones in Syria, which were used for storage and logistics, and the one in Iraq to recover armed drones and to launch them. So this obviously is meant to prevent and to send a very strong message, which I think it does. And the UAV attacks that kill American personnel are not going to be tolerated.
Malcolm, the foreign minister of Israel in the new government, Mr. Lapid, and the Secretary of State of the United States, Mr. Blinken, met in Europe. What is the statement that they've given to understand what are they talking about, and it has to do with resetting relations?
I think that is one of the primary issues, is to introduce the two new governments to each other. As you know, Mr. Netanyahu was defeated and the new government came into place a week ago, and Yair Lapid, who is the foreign minister, went to Rome to meet with Secretary Blinken, Secretary of State Blinken, who was there for other meetings. And clearly they wanted to do it as quickly as possible and as efficiently as possible. This comes in the same week that President Rivlin, who arrived here yesterday, the outgoing president of Israel, and will be meeting with President Biden today and then UN Secretary General tomorrow. He met with some of us yesterday. And he came also to help strengthen the U.S.-Israel ties, to reaffirm the bipartisan nature of the ties, and talking about, as Secretary Blinken did, that Israel and the United States have the same objectives, even if they differ on tactics. And as you know, the Israelis don't favor the negotiations that are ongoing with Iran. They have serious reservations about the nuclear pact and some of the reports that they have received. So I think these were addressed in these face-to-face meetings. Iran had to be the primary issue, but establishing the overall line of communications, and as the foreign minister of Israel said, there will be no surprises that they agreed on keeping each other informed. And there are ongoing talks. There have been delegations from Israel here. The Kochavi, who is the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of Israel, met with the U.S. National Security Advisor Sullivan, met with military officials, and was hosted by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And it made clear that Israel is continuing to prepare all options against Iran, and including perhaps a comprehensive strike, regardless of the deal, because Israel faces the immediate existential threat. The United States ultimately will, and certainly those of many of our other allies. So the announcement that by Iran that supposedly some of the sanctions will be lifted, and particularly those on oil and shipping, is a matter of great concern. And I think those were part of General Kochavi's discussions with his counterparts.
In the conversation, Malcolm, the Palestinian Authority and its future comes up often, and you identify to me an issue that needs to be resolved, at least a better reporting. An activist in the Palestinian Authority, Nizar Banat, is dead. He was last seen in the custody of the Palestinian Authority. There are protests throughout the Ramallah, through the West Bank. Ramallah is the headquarters, the capital of the West Bank. Protests about Banat's death. What do we know about his death, and what has Israel and the United States done about this?
Yes, it's remarkable how limited there's been coverage when hundreds of Palestinians are protesting against President Abbas after the Friday prayers at Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. And it came a day after Nizar Banat, who has been a harsh critic of the PA and of Abbas and about its corruption and misrule. He did Facebook videos. His family said that the Palestinian security forces raided the home where he was staying early Thursday, beat him with batons and dragged him away. And he died. And the Palestinians were chanting against the PA at his funeral. And they circulated calls for protests across the whole territory, and they burned tires and blocked roads and clashed with the Palestinian police in Ramallah, where the PA is headquartered. So this comes in the wake of Abbas calling off the election, that you have a committee that supposedly was formed, a high-level committee to investigate Banat's death. But there's very little question about how he died and the circumstances, but they want the details. The United States has called for it, so has the EU, for investigations and expressed concern on the restrictions on freedom of speech and freedom of action. But he has said that the whole authority are collaborators, and we heard, you know, from the people who were demonstrating about it. And it's also a protest against the system where the government, led by a small group of people in their 60s and 70s, by a man, Abbas, who is 85, and it's seen as corrupt and self-serving by the people. So this is this been part of a clampdown against activists and candidates associated with the Dahlan-affiliated Al-Mustaqbal list for the parliamentary elections that were held recently and were not held, actually. And so far, about 50 Palestinians were arrested just for being associated with Mohammed Dahlan. So it's much more widely spread. Another 150 were said to have been detained or summoned for interrogation by PA security forces for the same reason. So this is a more broad issue than just the individual, but he's become now the poster person for the demonstrators.
Iran propaganda sites are being shut down in the United States. Is this a successful move or too late, Malcolm?
That's actually an excellent question about whether it's too late. It's never too late to act against these propaganda machines that operate so freely in the United States. And finally, the United States took action to take down 33 of the sites, which are affiliated with the Iranian Islamic Radio and Television Union. They're meant to spread disinformation and sow discord amongst Americans. The domains are supposedly owned by U.S. companies, and they also took over the domain Palestine Today, which is a Hamas and Islamic Jihad front. Department of Justice took down about 100 websites linked to the IRGC, the Iran Revolutionary Guard, for a global disinformation campaign. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of the issues that this the action finally taken, and this is something that people pressed for a long time, because they use the vehicle and they take advantage of freedom of speech to suppress other people's freedom of speech in a very decisive and dangerous way. So the action is one that clearly will have ramifications. There have been protests about it, but it's important because we've given them the leeway to be able to poison the atmosphere, to spread hateful messages. And Press TV, which has been targeted many times by U.S. social media and Internet service companies, Google, I know, targeted them at least seven times and found severe and repeated violations of their community guidelines. So the action is one that is of great importance. When you see the Yemeni Al Nasira TV and the Iranians Arabic language Al Kokhtar television network are now put out of business for the time being, at least.
Two positive stories quickly, Malcolm. We don't have enough of this. Honduras is opening an embassy in Israel, and Israel is lending a hand to the UAE on cybersecurity. First, let's start with Honduras. What's up?
Honduras now becomes the fourth country with an embassy and the sixth country with a diplomatic presence in Jerusalem. President Juan Orlando Hernandez visited Israel, opened a new embassy together with the new prime minister and new foreign minister of Israel. It was very celebratory and very important, both symbolically and practically. And Honduras has been a supporter of Israel in the UN. It's one of the several South American and Latin American countries that have been very much in the forefront of this effort. The second story was that the unveiling of the new Israel Operational Technology Cyber Consortium, it's a long name, in Dubai, and because it talks about the danger to critical infrastructure and the combination of the effort to have this new consortium to provide cybersecurity in the UAE. So we are seeing some really positive steps as well that are coming about because of the Abraham Accords.
Universities in China worried Xi Jinping for a long time, and he's moved to crack down on any freedom of thought in universities. We do not do that here in the United States of America, but there are those who take advantage of our liberal tradition. And Malcolm, you point me to the BDS movement, which is still moving with anti-Semitism in universities. Is it disguised, Malcolm, or is this straight up recognizable by everybody, or do they use code words?
They're beyond the codes, which were used and still are by some. But overall, we see at Franklin and Marshall, the faculty statement talking about Jewish supremacy. I mean, we see language that is irrational and very dangerous, and got very sharp responses from alumni, from other faculty, as well as local community groups. This is a liberal arts college in Pennsylvania. And the college itself had put out a statement then saying that they do not represent, or the statement, the views of the college or the faculty as a whole. But there were a number of rebuttals, but the very fact that this kind of language and the negating of the reality. And we see it in the CUNY system, where in faculty and their union members of the faculty union are drafting statements that are completely out of line. Just as they attack the United States, they attack Israel. I mean, this is a rebuttal of any kind of free speech. And thank God now some of the faculty are finally beginning to wake up to this reality. People just let these things pass until they realize how much damage is being done, how threatening this is to the faculty, to the students. The fact that the NEA, National Education Association, is drafting also a very harmful statement. It tells us what is happening in our school systems, on our university campuses, and there's a great concern is what will happen when faculty, when the universities open up and the faculty return and students return, and we see the BDS campaign, which is backed by foreign entities, which is backed by extremist leftist and rightist groups, will once again be manifest. And that's why we take these very seriously, and thank God more and more people are beginning to realize how harmful they are.
Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. We're headed for the dusty one, Indiana Holine. I'm John Bash.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.